I want you to picture a specific moment. It's a Tuesday, maybe lunchtime. You're 12 years old.
Right in the thick of middle school.
Exactly, middle school. You're sitting in the cafeteria with your friends. They're unwrapping sandwiches, trading chips, eating pizza. And you are sitting there with a plastic bottle full of a distinctively medical-smelling liquid.
Oh,
You
man.
can't have a single bite of what they're eating, not a crumb. Because if you do, you risk waking up this chronic disease that causes intense pain, fatigue, and, well, severe inflammation in your digestive tract.
It's a brutal scenario for a child, socially, psychologically, and physically.
But here is the kicker: that liquid in the bottle, it works. It works better than almost anything else to put the fire out.
It really does.
But the question we are wrestling with today in this deep dive isn't about putting the fire out, it's about what happens next. How do you keep that fire from coming back without keeping a 12-year-old on a liquid diet for the rest of their life?
And that right there is the central dilemma of pediatric Crohn's disease. We know how to get them into remission. Keeping them there without immediately resorting to heavy-duty immune suppressants or steroids is the holy grail.
Which is exactly why we are looking at this specific study today. I found it fascinating because it pits two very different philosophies against each other. It's this head-to-head battle between rhythm and consistency.
Yeah, we are looking at the CD Hope trial.
Right.
It's a major piece of research out of France, specifically from the Gâteau Pediatric Network. This isn't just a small observational thing. It's a high-quality, randomized controlled trial across 21 different hospitals. They weren't just testing a diet, they were testing an entire strategy.
Our mission today is to unpack these findings. But before we get to the strategy, we have to understand the stakes. You mentioned getting them into remission. Let's be really clear about who these kids are. We aren't talking about mild tummy aches here.
No, not at all. We are talking about Crohn's disease. It's an autoimmune condition where the body literally attacks the lining of its own digestive tract.
And the patients in this study.
They were children. The median age was right around 12 or 13, so teenagers and preteens. They had either just been diagnosed or were experiencing a severe relapse. Their systems were incredibly inflamed.
Now, the standard playbook for this usually involves drugs, right?
Often, yes. Steroids, immunomodulators, biologics. And look, these are highly effective medications, but they carry significant baggage.
Especially for growing bodies.
Exactly. You're looking at potential impacts on growth, a higher susceptibility to infections, and even long-term cancer risks in some rare cases. So, for a pediatrician, if you can find a drug-free window, a period where you can manage the disease with nutrition alone, you take it every time.
But nutrition therapy itself sounds pretty intense.
Yeah.
The study starts with something they call induction therapy, meaning before the experiment even technically started, every single one of these kids had to get into remission using EN, exclusive enteral nutrition.
Calling it intense is honestly an understatement. EN means 100% of your calories come from a formula.
100%.
Everything. It's usually a polymeric formula, which means it contains whole proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, but in a liquid form that is incredibly easy for the gut to absorb.
So zero solid food for how long?
6 to 12 weeks.
Wow. That is an absolute lifetime for a middle schooler.
It requires immense discipline from the patient and the family, but biologically, it is miraculous. It doesn't just mask the symptoms, it physically heals the mucosa.
The gut lining.
Right. If you look at the lining of the intestine before EEN, it's red, ulcerated, angry. After 8 weeks of this liquid diet, you look again and it can be pink and healthy like nothing ever happened.
Okay, so the baseline for this study is that the kids did the hard work. They drank the formula, they skipped the pizza parties, and they got into clinical remission. They are symptom-free. But now you have a healthy-feeling kid who is absolutely desperate to eat normal food again.
Of course they are, and you can't keep them on EEN forever. They would lose muscle mass eventually, they would fall behind socially, and psychologically, it's just unsustainable.
But if they just go back to eating normal food.
Historical data shows that if you just let them go back to a standard diet, even a quote-unquote healthy one, roughly 60 to 70% will relapse within a year.
So the inflammation just comes roaring back as soon as the food does.
Often, yes. So the researchers asked a vital question: is there a way to use that liquid formula to maintain the remission we just fought so hard to get?
Enter the showdown. They took about 100 of these kids who had just finished their liquid diet marathon and split them into two distinct groups. The first group is what I call the consistency team. The study calls it PEN, or partial enteral nutrition.
This is the highly intuitive approach. You tell the family, okay, you can eat regular food again, but To keep the disease away, we want you to get 25% of your daily calories from the liquid formula.
Every single day.
Every day. For an entire year. Both groups, by the way, use the same oral supplement, Modulin IBD.
That strategy makes total sense to me. It's like taking a daily vitamin. You keep a baseline level of the medicine in your system constantly.
That's the prevailing hypothesis. You reduce the quote-unquote bad food load by 25%, and you introduce the anti-inflammatory properties of the formula daily. It's a maintenance strip.
Then you have the second group.
Yeah.
The Rhythm Team, or CEEN. Cyclic Exclusive Enteral Nutrition. Now, this one sounds weirdly harder to me.
It's very counterintuitive.
Yeah.
In this group, the kids eat whatever they want for 8 weeks, a totally normal diet. But then, every 2 months, they have to stop. Full stop.
Oh, wow.
They go back on the 100% liquid diet, no solid food at all, for 2 full weeks.
So it's a whole strategy. 8 weeks of freedom, 2 weeks of total lockdown. Repeat.
Exactly. They repeat that cycle for at least 6 cycles over the 52 weeks.
I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of these parents.
Mm.
The consistency approach seems so much easier to sell to a kid. Just drink this one shake with breakfast and you're good.
Right.
The rhythm approach requires disrupting your entire life every 2 months. You have to schedule your family vacations around it. You have to explain to your soccer coach why you aren't eating at the team dinner again.
Mm-hmm. The burden is very different between the two. With the daily approach, PEN, you are constantly reminded of your disease. Every single meal involves a negotiation. Did you finish your formula? Are you eating too much solid food?
That constant friction.
Exactly. With the cyclic approach, you are normal for 2 months. You don't have to think about it. Then you are in treatment for 2 weeks.
But does the biology actually care about your schedule? That's the real question. I would assume that daily protection is better. Consistency usually wins in medicine. We're taught to take our pills every day, not just 2 weeks a month.
That was the prevailing wisdom. But when they ran the numbers at the 12-month mark, the results were incredibly stark.
How stark are we talking? Remind us of the goal here. The primary endpoint was the relapse rate at 12 months.
Yes. And just for clarity, the study defined relapse as a weighted pediatric Crohn's disease activity index score of over 12.5, or needing surgery or medication.
Got it. So they had about 100 patients, 49 in the cyclic group, 51 in the daily group. What happened?
The daily maintenance group, the kids drinking the formula alongside their normal food every day, had a relapse rate of 76%.
76%. Oh. 39 out of 51 kids relapsed. That's barely better than doing nothing at all.
It's statistically very close to the natural relapse rate of doing nothing.
Yeah.
It essentially implies that just adding the formula on top of a regular diet didn't provide nearly enough protection to hold back the disease.
Wow. Okay, so what about the rhythm group? The kids who did the 2-week hard reset.
Their relapse rate was 49%, 24 out of 49 patients.
That is a massive difference.
It's huge. The adjusted odds ratio was 0.29 with a p-value of 0.0051. In plain English, the risk of relapse was drastically lower simply by changing how the nutrition was delivered.
Why? This is the part I really want to dig into.
Mm-hmm.
Why does 2 weeks of nothing but liquid work significantly better than a year of a little bit of liquid every day?
Think of it like a sprained ankle. If you have a bad sprain and you walk on it a little bit every day, even if you walk 25% less than usual, it never fully heals. The inflammation stays low grade, just simmering there.
Because you're still irritating the tissue.
Right. In the gut, walking on it is eating solid food. Every single time you eat, you introduce antigens, you alter the microbiome, you mechanically stress the intestinal tissue. The daily group never gave their gut a complete break. They just dialed down the volume slightly.
Where's the cyclic group?
The cyclic group went to zero. For 2 weeks, they removed all dietary triggers. We believe this allows for mucosal healing to catch up. It hits a physiological reset button on the microbiome, potentially starving out the inflammatory bacteria that slowly build up during the 8 weeks of normal eating.
So it's not just about the formula being a magic anti-inflammatory potion that you add to your diet. It's about the absence of the food triggers.
That seems to be the primary driver. The formula provides the necessary nutrition so you don't starve. And yes, it has some anti-inflammatory properties, but the real power comes from the total exclusion, the silence in the gut, if you will.
But let's not gloss over the fact that 49% of the cyclic group still relapsed. That's essentially a coin flip.
It is a coin flip, and we need to be realistic about that. This isn't a cure. It's a strategy to buy time. But for the 50% of kids who didn't relapse, that's a full year of growth, a full year of puberty without exposure to steroids or immunosuppressants. In the life of a developing child, a year is an eternity.
Let's talk about the reality of actually doing this, though.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the burden earlier. I have to imagine telling a teenager, hey, guess what? It's week 8, put down the burger and pick up the bottle, leads to some serious friction.
Yeah.
Did the study track how the kids actually handled it safely?
They did track it, and the safety and adverse events data give us a glimpse into that exact friction. Now, big picture, there were no deaths and no malignancies, which is our baseline for safety in these kinds of trials. But there were absolutely psychological and physical pushbacks. They noted 19 total adverse events across 17 patients.
What kind of events?
Interestingly, the serious adverse events, there were 4 of them that required hospitalization, were all in the daily PEN group. And they were related to the disease relapsing, not the diet itself.
So the biggest risk to the daily group wasn't the treatment, it was that the treatment failed.
Precisely. The risk of the disease flaring up and requiring rescue therapy was the primary danger there. But when we look at the events possibly related to the diet therapy itself, there were 6.
Let's hear them.
In the cyclic group, there was transient vomiting and diarrhea reported right at the start of the cycles.
Probably because you're shocking the system.
Exactly. You're shifting a kid from a complex solid diet to a high osmolarity liquid diet overnight. The gut reacts. It's not a seamless transition. But more concerningly, there was one case of anorexia in the cyclic group.
Honestly, that doesn't surprise me. You're effectively training a kid to severely restrict their food intake.
It's a very fine line to walk. You are medicalizing their relationship with eating. That patient developed a fear of eating because the diet was so central to their disease management.
What about the daily group? Did they have any diet-related issues?
They did. Weight loss, nausea, and a skin infection. But overall, the cyclic group dealt with the annoyance and the psychological challenge of the strict liquid diet while avoiding the hospital much more effectively than the daily group.
I want to synthesize all this and really dig into the implications here. Because even if you aren't a pediatric gastroenterologist, there is a biological principle at play that feels profound. We are completely obsessed with maintenance in our culture. Maintenance calories, maintenance meds, do a little bit every day.
We value consistency over almost everything else. We think that if we do the right thing 80% of the time, or if we just add a healthy thing on top of our bad habits, it cancels out the damage.
But this study clearly suggests that biology is nonlinear.
It challenges that exact assumption. It suggests that there are thresholds. Simply lowering the noise isn't always enough. Sometimes you genuinely need silence. The gut lining might not be able to heal while it's processing solid food, no matter how much good stuff you pour in alongside it. It needs that total cessation of insults to recover.
It reminds me of sleep. You can't just rest your eyes for 10 minutes every hour and expect to feel fully rested.
Right.
You actually need to shut down completely for 8 straight hours to get the restorative benefits.
That's a fantastic analogy. There are deep physiological processes that only kick in when the system is taken completely offline. In Crohn's disease, that offline mode is the exclusive liquid diet.
So, practically speaking, if a parent is listening to this, or a doctor treating a newly diagnosed kid,
mm-hmm.
is this cyclic approach the new standard? Is the daily drip dead?
Dead is too strong a word. But the authors of the study heavily argue that this challenges the current clinical paradigm. It offers a completely new way to use nutritional therapy. If a family is motivated and the child responds well to that first induction round of the liquid diet, the cyclic approach is demonstrably a scientifically superior tool for delaying medications.
But it requires total buy-in.
Massive buy-in. You need a supportive school environment, supportive friends, and a child who deeply understands why they are doing it. Without that, adherence fails. And if you don't do the 2 weeks strictly, you lose the biological benefit of the reset.
There was a detail in the study about that score we mentioned earlier, the WPCDAI score. I want to clarify what a relapse actually looks like for these families on a random Tuesday. We throw around the word relapse like it's just a data point, but what does that mean?
It's definitely not just a number on a chart. The Weighted Pediatric Crohn's Disease Activity Index tracks severe real-world symptoms. It tracks abdominal pain, the number of liquid stools per day, energy levels, and even growth velocity.
So when we say a score above 12.5, means they failed the trial.
It means the child is actively hurting. They are running to the bathroom 5-6 times a day. They are too fatigued to play sports or focus in class. They might be losing weight again. It's the return of the absolute misery that dominated their life before they were ever diagnosed.
Which really puts the burden of the diet in perspective. Drinking a bad-tasting shake for 2 weeks is definitely hard.
It is.
But being in pain and unable to leave the house because you need a bathroom constantly is infinitely harder.
That is the ultimate trade-off. The study essentially asks the family to choose their hard. Do you want the hardship of a strict, highly disruptive dietary regimen, or the hardship of active inflammatory disease and the potential side effects of the heavy medications required to stop it?
It's a choice no 12-year-old should ever have to make, but here we are.
And that is exactly why this kind of research is so vital. It gives them a third option. Before, the conversation was mostly diet versus drugs. Now we know that how you deploy the diet matters just as much as what is actually in it.
It really makes me wonder if this pulse concept applies elsewhere in human health. We see it in intermittent fasting, obviously.
Yeah.
We see it in athletic training, too. You don't just lift weights lightly every single day. You tear the muscle down, and the rest days are when the muscle actually builds.
It's a recurring theme across biology. Homeostasis, true balance, isn't static. It's dynamic. Systems naturally oscillate. Our modern attempt to treat chronic diseases with a flat, constant line of therapy often fights against the body's natural preference for cycles and rhythms.
Maybe we are all trying to maintain too much when we should really be oscillating.
It's certainly something to deeply consider, whether it's your diet, your stress levels, or even your exposure to screens. Maybe a partial reduction isn't doing what you think it is. Maybe we need full resets.
So, to synthesize this for the listener who might be taking notes, the CDA trial showed that for kids with Crohn's disease, cycling completely on and off a liquid diet was significantly better at preventing relapse than taking a little bit of that same formula every single day.
Correct. The pulse definitively beat the drip. By a lot.
But it's not magic. It's incredibly hard work, and as the data showed, it didn't work for everyone.
And it requires very close medical supervision. This isn't something to try at home just based on what you heard on a deep dive. These kids were meticulously monitored for weight, growth, and blood inflammatory markers by clinical professionals.
Absolutely. Don't go buying cases of formula without having a serious talk with your GI doctor.
Please don't.
Well, this has been a heavy one, but an incredibly important one. It's so rare to see the concept of food as medicine get this level of rigorous, pharmaceutical-grade scientific testing. Usually, we just get anecdotes and wellness influencers.
That's the beauty of the GitAid network and trials like this. They applied intense scrutiny to a behavioral and dietary intervention. We desperately need more research exactly like this.
We really do. Thank you for walking us through the mechanisms of this. It honestly makes me look at my own gut and my own lunch today a little differently.
Always happy to help break it down.
And to you listening, think about the maintenance strategies in your own life. Are you just lightly tapping the brakes every day when what your body actually needs is for you to come to a full stop? It's something to chew on. We'll see you in the next deep dive.